It'll take probably a little while to sink in, but you've just beaten one of the best players in the world over the last 10 years. How are you feeling?
Pretty tired. Catching my breath.
I'm sure you're like, we won't keep you for too long, but what was it like walking out here knowing you're playing a player of the calibre of David Ferrer?
I was pretty excited. I haven't really played at this level too much, so I always wanted to test out my game, and I wasn't too nervous. I was actually looking forward to coming out and playing.
That rally to win the match was an absolute river.
Yeah, I'm still feeling it.
Listen, I won't keep you, mate, because you've got a lot of preparation because you've got Kane Nishikori next. It doesn't get any easier, JT.
Never does.
Well done, mate. Go and relax.
Thank you. Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, would you please be upstanding for the Australian National Anthem. Craig Willis there interviewing Jordan Thompson after his great win over David Ferrer with thanks to Jets Fitness, our Summer of Tennis update. Jets Fitness, a 24/7 gym where you can work out on your terms, low fees and no lock-in contracts. Head to jets.com.au. Jordan Thompson, another new star, Bobsy's head up, Brett.
Yeah, indeed. Morning to you, Shebex. And look, I'm really wet for Jordan. It's a significant breakthrough for him playing against Ferrer. No wonder he was almost speechless at the end of that match, because when you defeat David Ferrer, you've certainly earned the win, because he doesn't just hand it over on a silver platter. This is a guy who has been top 10 for the last 10 years, been one of the best players outside the Big Four. He did make one French Open final on clay, which is his preferred surface, coming from Spain. Yeah, fantastic fella, just a real hard worker. He's one that a lot of the Australian players could really look up to. And, Thompson sort of plays a similar game style. He's, certainly built his body up, Jordan, the last couple of years to play these big, tough matches. So he can rally with the best. I mean, if he's going to go to the next stage and get into the top 50 and keep going, he probably needs a couple more weapons. But, Jordan doesn't make a lot of unforced errors and, hits a lot of good deep balls. So he's a really good kid. He's got a great work ethic, and he won the wildcard event at the Australian Open a couple of times, where he had to win, a couple of big five setters. So, he's always sort of been one we're keeping an eye on, that we thought had just had the makeup to maybe be successful on the tour.
And fantastic that he also had the Davis Cup captain in Leighton Hewitt cheering in his box. That's a good sign for him for 2017 moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I think Leighton would love a Jordan Thompson. Leighton's working with a lot of different, as we know, personality types amongst the Australian players, different game styles, but I reckon he'd watch a Jordan Thompson and really admire the way he plays. Just getting the absolute maximum out of himself. Just a real grinder, but also very skillful. He's developing his all-court game. He can, certainly get forward, and was trying to get forward, because Ferrer is just a great rallier from the baseline who will make you work very hard. So yeah, big win, and as we heard there on the on-court interview, he's got Nishikori next, who had his difficulties yesterday, of course, defeating the qualifier Jared Donaldson, considered the first set guy, and he's really had no off-season. Played the ATP World Tour Finals in London late November, went and played in the IPTL over in Asia, and basically hasn't put a racket down. So it looked a bit rusty, or certainly looked a little bit lethargic early yesterday, Nishikori, but got into a nice groove. So another great test for Jordan Thompson.
Well, I'm sure these guys have been told years and years through that if you're going to beat the big names, this is the time you're going to do it. The first major tournament basically for the year, these guys are coming off a break. They're a little bit rusty, and as we saw with Roger Federer and Serena Williams overnight, they also just didn't have their game right, and they're still working on that. So if you're going to beat a big name, the first tournament of the year is the way to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, and it's a great opportunity in our Australian summer, when the Australian players get some wild cards into events that they normally wouldn't around the globe. So they've got to make the most of that. We're very lucky to have a Grand Slam on home soil here, and some of the discretionary wild cards that are handed out. You've got to certainly earn that right, but make the most of the opportunity if you're given one. And Jordan has certainly done that. And he's had a great couple of years. He's got himself into that around about 80 in the world. To get to the next step, he's got to start to beat some good calibre players. This is a tough field in Brisbane. This is not a normal Shebex ATP 250 event. When you look at you know, the amount of players in the top 10. So, you know, if you can take a couple of scalps, just the confidence it gives you, you know, to lay the foundations for the entire year, you know, really valuable.
I love the line in the Herald Sun today when I was reading about Jordan Thompson. It says, Thompson won four Challenger titles in four different countries, France, Vietnam, China, and Traralgon.
Yeah.
I don't know if Traralgon was ever considered a country.
No, I was actually down there watching him in Traralgon a couple of months ago. And, you know, this is the journey that a lot of these tennis players have to go on. And, you know, we actually popped in the first serve team and watched the whole Saturday. And you walk in there and, you know, the gates are open. It's just like walking into your local tennis club and there's a few sponsorship banners around and, you know, there's about two cats and a dog there watching. And you've got to generate your own atmosphere and, you know, think you sort of replicate that anywhere around the world and probably more primitive conditions in Australia. These are the hard yards that you've got to do to get to the more glamorous courts like Pat Rafter Arena.
Well, you certainly do. I just mentioned before about Roger Federer and Serena Williams. No real surprise, I suppose, that they didn't make it through to the finals of their respective events. I think Serena was probably expected to make it, maybe not Roger as much. But, yeah, they got a little bit of work to do before the start of the Australian Open.
Yeah, look, Serena, you know, disappointing for the organisers over there. The first time that she's played in Auckland, and it's the first time they'd sold out every session, and she's been knocked out in the second round. So, look, she had some really swirly conditions on centre court yesterday. She played Madison Pringle. I mean, this girl is a pretty decent player. Made the final in Hobart a couple of years ago. I first caught a glimpse of her, and she's, you know, a top 70 player. But, yeah, Serena, I think she made 88 unforced errors, which is quite remarkable. I mean, you know, you think about when Djokovic made 100 at the Australian Open a few years ago. So she could hardly keep a ball in play, but, you know, look, she'll gear up for the slams. But I think what it says to us is that, you know, to get past Steffi Graf and get towards Margaret Court, this is not going to be easy because Kerber's the number one and the rest are coming hard. And she's going to have to fight tooth and nail, Serena, if she's going to win a couple more majors to create history. They're not going to be certainly handed on a silver platter. And look, interesting last night at the Hopman Cup, it was, you know, the greatest of all time, Roger, up against the next generation, the man who, you know, might get towards his 17, Alexander Zverev, who's, you know, just such an exciting prospect from Germany. He's already inside or around that top 20 at just 19 years of age. And there are three tiebreakers last night. He certainly went the journey with Roger and managed to get up. So the next generation looks pretty exciting.
Nick Kyrgios, great, very happy to see his mate Thanasi Kokkinakis back on court.
Yeah, look, you know, fingers crossed. It's sort of baby steps for Kokkinakis entering the doubles up in Brisbane this week. And, you know, it's just all going to come down to whether his body can stay intact. Unfortunately, he's had, yeah, back issues and stress fractures of his feet. And, you know, he's such a capable player, Thanasi. You know, it was certainly a school of thought at one stage. He could be maybe the best of, you know, Kyrgios and Tomic. But we just haven't seen enough of him over the last 12 months. So if he can just build into the year here through doubles just to get a bit of touch and a bit of match conditioning, hopefully we can see him have some time on the tour this year because, you know, he's a good ambassador, good young man.
I read that he's still debating about whether he's going to play singles at the Australian Open, saying that he might play a couple of games at Kooyong before deciding. Yep. Hasn't that decision been taken out of his hand, or is he already in the draw?
Well, he's effectively in the draw. He's got a protected ranking inside that top 100. So what are we, about the top 105, 104 who get direct entry, and then you've got your qualifiers and your wild cards. So there's a few there who've got that protected ranking. So
because I knew we'd handed out all the wild cards, and I just wasn't sure whether that's what he was hoping for.
Yeah, because he's had the long-term injury. He gets that protected ranking, I think, which was somewhere around 60-odd in the world when he exited the tour about this time last year. So, yeah, he just needs to at least see what the next week looks like before making a call on that, because the worst thing you'd want to see is him break down again and he has, you know, more time off the tour.
What have we got to look forward to today, mate?
Yeah, Sam Groth up in Brisbane. Another big test for Grothy after his great win a couple of days ago. So he's got Dominic Thiem, the young Austrian. Absolute gun. He's the fourth set up in Brisbane. So that's going to be a massive test. Rafael Nadal will play tonight up against Misha Zverev, the older brother of Alexander, who played Roger last night. And, of course, the Aussies will play the USA in the Hopman Cup, which will be terrific because the US have been in great form. Coco Vandeweghe and Jack Sock haven't been defeated at this stage. And Nick's won his two matches. So good for Daria Gavrilova to get a bit of confidence to try and certainly win a match. So, yeah, plenty on at the Hopman Cup. That'll be the night session tonight. Unbelievably, last night, 13,875 for Roger Federer. I mean, that's almost like a Grand Slam crowd over at Perth. So they've they've come to see the best. 15 years since he's been to Perth, and they're certainly making the most of it.
Well, that is a very, very good crowd number. Brett, always great to talk to you, mate. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Thank you, Shebex.
Brett Phillips joining us, our Summer of Tennis update for EnviroWall, a cost-effective insulation for summer cool and winter warmth for your home. Head to envirowall.com.au. We'll head to a break. Back to wrap up the hour in just a tick.